Hey, hey, radio fans. Welcome to Transition State. You're about to hear Portishead. And we're back. That was Portishead with Humming. You are listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9. As always, I am your host, Adam. And with me for the first time is a very special guest, Mr. John Turley.
Thanks a lot for having me on, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for being here, John. For those of you who don't know, John Turley is basically the king of pharmaceutical science and sports.
I really don't think so.
There are other people who might be better at pharmacy and might be better at sports, but who are better at both? I don't think so.
I'm sure there's a few up there for sure.
Okay, well, anyway, welcome. Today we have a very special episode. We're going to be talking about hockey.
Nice.
So, first question, true or false? Hockey is the best sport.
True.
Okay.
100%.
Second question? What's your favorite thing about hockey?
probably the locker room, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Three times. That's all that really that matters. If our team loses a bit, it's not the end of the world as long as we're having a good time afterwards. That's what I care about.
Okay. Who is your favorite hockey team?
Canucks.
The Canucks.
The Canucks.
No kidding. No kidding.
I'm a little offended, but.
Did you grow up as a Canucks fan?
I was raised on the Canucks.
No kidding. Yeah. Okay. Normally I want to have my guests do the talking, but I think I have to tell you the story about how I tried so hard to be a Canucks fan.
Sure.
Okay, so rewind. Go back to like 1989. I lived in Ottawa.
Okay.
And I was born in New Brunswick. And back then, they didn't even have the Senators, so there was no hockey teams.
Yeah.
I didn't have, like, a loyal team from the beginning. You either cheered for, like, Toronto or Montreal, which is a nightmare. So...
You're not a Habs fan?
No. God.
No.
I mean, in those days, yeah. The Edmonton Oilers were actually the Kings. So, it's a different world back then.
Yeah.
So, then I moved to Calgary when I was 10. But I didn't have, like, a lot of love for the Flames. Like, I was from out east, and I sort of thought the Oilers were the best. So I didn't really have allegiance to the Flames. And around the mid-90s, I started to really, really like the Canucks.
Kirk McLean.
Trevor Linden.
Yeah.
Right? Jeff Cortnell. Like, Dave Babich. They had the sweetest team back then.
Best mustache in hockey.
Yeah. And so, obviously, all my friends were Flames fans, and I took a lot of heat. But I was like, screw you. The Canucks are awesome. So then, fast forward, I moved to Vancouver 2010, and I honestly considered trying to reinvent myself as a Canucks fan.
That's the perfect time. We're actually a good hockey team.
Yeah. So what happened was they sort of make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is 2010. They're going to go on a run. They finished first. Everybody's behind them. And I was working at a English school, so you had to wear like a shirt and tie, unless it was a game day. Then you could wear just a jersey. So I was contemplating buying a Canucks jersey. I was like, oh, that'll save me from shirt and tie. But then I was like faced with the dilemma of which name, like which number to choose. And it sort of dawned on me that like, Sedin? Like Sedin? No. And Sedin, come on. I don't know.
Not play like the most.
Who else do they have? Like Burroughs? Burroughs? Do you really like Burroughs? Who else? Who's their big guy?
Kessler.
Thought about it. Honestly, the only thing I could really settle on was, like, the vintage one of Trevor Linden.
Because
I'd always been, like, a Trevor Linden fan.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with that.
But then you see so many posers hanging around with, like, fake vintage Trevor Linden jerseys that I was turned off by the whole thing. And sort of I got stuck in this limbo of not being able to decide which name to get. And in the meantime...
Into it way too much.
In the meantime, though, watching the playoffs that year, I was like, I sort of realized that it was impossible to cheer for the Canucks because they didn't know anything about real hockey.
Yeah, they got stumped up by Chicago that year, didn't they?
No, it was Boston in the finals.
In 2010?
Or maybe it was 2011 then. Yeah. I first moved back in 2010. Yeah, 2011 was that year. So, do you have any, like, defense for your team?
I do, like, I agree that maybe the brand of hockey that they play isn't the most exciting. It's super, like, puck possession, a lot of, like, back cycling, especially when the Sedins are out there. But for me, it's just loyalty. You gotta be loyal to your team.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're constantly jumping off the bandwagon, if you don't like the players on the team, then you're just a plug. Stick with your team.
Okay, fair enough. So now I've decided to go back to Calgary. Now that I'm in Vancouver, I'm cheering for Calgary again, and I'm sticking with them. Calgary. And
they're playing good hockey. Right?
They're great now.
They're good.
They got Johnny.
Johnny Hockey.
Ugh, my dad is an Oilers fan.
Oh, that's gonna be tough.
Okay, I really want to play a song for you. It's by Propagandy.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Propagandy?
I have not.
Okay, they're my favorite band. They're from Winnipeg.
Okay.
They're like a hardcore band. And this is a song called Dear Coach's Corner.
Oh, right on.
It's a song, I want to walk you through it because it's going to be so thrashing that you're going to miss a part of the lyrics. So it's basically a song, he's writing a letter to Ron McLean asking about how hockey got mixed up with the military.
Okay, yeah.
So Propagandhi, they're like very, like, you know, very progressive punk rock guys. They're very much against the military. And I think his point is that he loves hockey, but he can't stand sort of... He doesn't see the military as, like, fighting for your freedom or standing up for yourself. It's more like brainwashing, and you think you're fighting for your country, but really you're just fighting for some other guy who doesn't want to fight for himself.
Yeah, no, that's true. Grapes always talks.
Right, he always brings up the troops. And there's other stuff, too. There's, like, there's always the flags. There's always the national anthems. And, like, every once in a while you'll see, like, military people, like, coming down from the rafters.
Yeah, that's like America.
And you're just sort of like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I can kind of see the comparison, though. Like, you're making sacrifices for your team, like, sacrifices for your country kind of thing. But I don't know. I don't know if it's appropriate to put the two together. But I'm not an expert on the subject, obviously.
Okay, you want to listen up?
Yeah.
Okay, here's Propagandhi with Dear Coach's Corner on CITR 101.9.
That was sickening last week, by the way.
What? What is going on with you here?
No, it's not. What is this stuff on here? We're Hockey Night in Canada, and we're talking about saving the world and all that stuff. Let's talk hockey.
Well, that's the whole idea behind December the 25th.
Let's talk about some good guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about the troops.
Fire, wire, 8 plate, pedal 2, the gap, no, every fight, no, no, no.
And we are back. How'd you like that, John?
It was good, man.
Not bad, hey?
Something new. I haven't heard anything. I don't listen to punk rock music much anymore, but it's good.
I saw Propaganda in Tokyo, and it was a few years ago, and they played that song. They kind of said, like, here's a new one you haven't heard before that'll be on our new album.
Yeah.
Just thrashed out this, like, Dear Ron McLean. Like, whoa.
And this was in Japan?
In Japan. I personally...
Did Nihonji, did they not get that?
They just love the music. I don't know how much they understand. But I know it was me personally who got Propaganda to Japan.
How'd you do that?
I went there to work as an English teacher. And then I was in a city called Sapporo, and I was, like, missing Propaganda. Hadn't seen them for a long time. So I just emailed them. They're not, like, a big band. So I was like, have you guys ever played Japan? And then he got back to me. He's like, I think we did a tour there, like, 97. And I was like, ugh, sounds like you have some unfinished business. Be sure to come to Sapporo.
Yeah.
And then, like, 4 months after that, they had this Japanese tour, like, five dates, not Sapporo. And I, you know, I'm like, what's up? Why are you skipping Sapporo? Like, yeah, I'm going to Tokyo. And all he said was, well, we look forward to seeing you wearing nothing but your underwear.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, very good show, though. Very good show. Okay. Should we talk some more about hockey?
Whatever you want, buddy.
How did you get into hockey? Like, did you play as a kid?
Yeah. I started in Initiation C, Kamloops Minor Hockey. Bad hockey player. But it was tons of fun. I guess I would have been 7 or 8. Good times, though, because all my buddies from school played, and our buddy's dad, Steve, coached the team. So every year he'd kind of pick all of us. So it was just all the guys playing hockey. It was tons of fun.
And did you play all the way through, like, to junior?
Yeah, I played up to a midget.
Huh. I had something similar. It wasn't, like, our friend's dad picking us, but it was the group of guys who were always on the bottom teams.
Yeah.
Like, all through Adam, Pee-wee, everything, we're making the bottom teams. And we started being, like, really good friends.
Yeah.
Because we've been same guys for, like, years
Fourth
and years
line,
and
you're
years.
On the bench so yeah. much.
By the end, yeah, we were on fire. Like, it's definitely, you know, it's a team sport. It's a social game.
Yeah.
And you guys
no,
are
sure.
all
That's
together.
Like, the social aspects.
Yeah.
The most fun one. It's nice scoring a big goal or whatever, but to celebrate with friends after is the best part.
So who's your favorite player?
Right now? I like Chris Tanev's game right now. Chris Tanev, defenseman for the Canucks. But all-time favorite player, probably Joe Sakic growing up.
Joe Sakic?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. Did you ever see Joe Sakic play for the Quebec Nordiques?
No. I jumped on the Avalanche bandwagon in 96 when they won the cup and stuck on it for, I don't know, until Joe Sakic got his hand stuck in a snowblower and ended his career.
Really? I actually must have missed that.
No, it's...
I must have been out of the country.
A shitty way to go out.
Ah, yeah. I remember... Last thing I remember about Joe Sakic was he was killing it in the Olympics.
Yeah.
The one in Salt Lake.
Yeah, even as an old guy, he still had it. Still
oh,
the best wrist shot I've seen.
Wrist shot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, I'll give you that. And I'm curious about, like, you played hockey for all those years. Did you ever, like, win? Did you ever win the championship? Like the Mighty Ducks?
We won house 1 year. It was a pretty big deal. I think that was in Bantam. Bantam might have won in Pee Wee. I don't know. Our teams were never, like, amazing. But we were all right. We were all right.
Okay.
A couple of participant ribbons. MVP of a minor hockey game up in Clearwater or something. But I never played, like, really high-level hockey or anything like that.
Do you want to hear the story of when my team won?
Lay it on me.
So, like I said, like, we were never good. Obviously, like, you know, when you go through junior high and high school, you start to see the kids who are, like, making AA, AAA. Like, oh, they're actually really good hockey players.
Yeah.
We were none of that. We were always the bottom guys.
I don't know. I like your game a lot. Since you joined the pharmacy team, you're probably our leading scorer, buddy.
Yeah, we'll
tearing it
that.
Up.
But the last year, I remember, like, it was my last year to play. I was in grade 12 high school. And we had, like I said, we had a group of guys that got really close. And we started doing amazing. And we had a really good season where we went a perfect 12-0. but we lost to this one, like, our nemesis team in SO Minor Hockey Week.
Yeah.
They could beat us. They're the only team that could beat us. And we beat them in the regular season. They beat us in Minor Hockey Week. But the difference because we had two goalies.
Yeah.
And this was, like, minor hockey, so it wasn't about play the best goalie. So we had to alternate. Oh. And our bad goalie got us beat, and our good goalie we'd win. So yeah, the coaches, part of our awesome team and us coming together was our coaches.
Yeah.
We had these, like, guys. They weren't anybody's dad. They were, like, some university age, just really cool guys, just really into hockey. And they always emphasized, like, fair play, high class, stuff like that. So anyway, we faced these guys in the finals. We beat them. It was the best feeling. And part of what, like, really made it special for me was that since it was our group of guys, the feeling, like, lasted and lasted and lasted because, like, we were sharing
it. Just keep reliving it, yeah.
Just keep, like, every time I see those guys again, it all comes back. It was this shared feeling that made me, like, really, really see that, you know, team sports are for me. The individual thing, I'm sure you still get that same rush.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you could share it.
Yeah, if you don't have anyone to high five at the end, then what's the point, really?
And honestly, that was, like, the best feeling I've ever had in my life. Until we won Skits Night last night. Last year.
Yeah.
Skits Night last year was the exact same feeling.
It's like an underdog story, kind of. Yeah.
And it was so shared. It was all of us together. We could keep going through it.
Yeah, there was so much time invested in that, right? So when it pays off in the end, it feels that much better.
Some people out there probably won't know what Skits Night is, but that's okay. Do you want to hear some more music?
Yeah, man.
What would you like to hear?
Whatever you want. How about Taking Care of Business by PTO?
Oh, that's going to take me a few seconds.
Oh, okay.
I have another song here. It's about local anesthetics. What's your favorite local anesthetic?
How about lidocaine?
Let's have a local anesthetic off. You say one, then I'll say one, then you say then I'll say, okay?
Okay.
So you started with lidocaine.
This probably won't go well for me.
You can do it. I'll say bupivacaine.
Bupivacaine... I'm just trying to think about it. The hospital, what else they have? What if I said lidocaine, bupivacaine, cocaine?
Cocaine. Okay, that's the title of our next track.
Hey.
Here's Cocaine by Cattle.
I woke up this morning and kill horses and men. They say to kill ya, but they don't say when. I walk down Alamo, I walk down Main, and try to bum a dollar to get me some
Hi, I'm Dan Hamhuis. On the ice, I play defense for the Vancouver Canucks. Off the ice, I've joined another team, the Canucks Autism Network, and I hope you'll join us for our family festival on Sunday, April 12th at Jack Poole Plaza. Enjoy live entertainment, food, and family-friendly activities as we celebrate World Autism Awareness Month. And best of all, it's free. So come out on April 12th and help spread awareness. To learn more, please visit CanucksAutism.ca/support.
And we are back. You're listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9 FM. This is the show by pharmacy students for, not just pharmacy students, for everybody. So listen up. We just heard Bachman Turner Overdrive, and with me listening to that is Mr. John Turley. How'd you like that, John?
It was great. It's the opening, like, hype-up song for the Kamloops Blazers, the WOHL team from my hometown. So when I hear it, it reminds me of hockey back home.
That's where you're from, Kamloops?
Yeah, man.
Okay, who's the best player who ever played for the Kamloops Trailblazers?
It's the Kamloops Blazers.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. And Jerome McGinley, probably.
No kidding!
Jerome McGinley.
Hey, I'll give you that. Okay, now I want to talk about obviously this is the hockey episode. It's the Great Day for Hockey broadcast, so I want to talk about the big game tonight.
Big game tonight, bud.
Big game. For those of you who don't know, there is a huge rivalry in the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Science hockey community. There is one team good and one team which is pure evil. What's the good team?
I want to say the right answer is the Flyers.
I think, wouldn't the good team stand for justice and have, like, a brightly colored jersey?
Yeah.
And they fly, too, so that's, you know, superhero.
We've got a lot going for us, just in terms of uniforms.
Whereas the bad guys, what, dressed in black, coming along, acting like they own everything, trying to mess everything up, and they have an evil-sounding name, the Pharma Studs.
So, pure evil.
So who are you going to cheer for, John?
Well, I'm biased, obviously, sitting on the good guys' bench.
Me too. I'm also on the Flyers team.
Fill in water bottles.
So it'll be me and John and the rest of us battling for the forces of good over evil tonight at 11 p.m.
Big game.
It's the semis. Looking forward to it. This is the semis, right?
Yeah. And
so the winner will go on to the finals. And if the Flyers win and then they go on to the finals, how many straight championships will that be?
Well, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, obviously. But if we can get by the Studs and then whoever we play in the finals, that'd be four in a row.
Quattro. That's almost a dynasty.
Running out of fingers for all the rings.
But as you said, we're not there yet. And the Pharma Studs did beat us earlier in the regular season.
It was humbling.
It's going to be a bang-up game, so show up tonight. That's at Thunderbird Arena at 11 p.m.
Fill up those stands.
Okay, now I'd like to transition into pharmacy. So, John, obviously you are super smart and super interested in pharmacy. What got you into pharmacy in the first place?
What got me into pharmacy in the first place? For me anyways, I did an undergrad degree at Thompson Rivers University. Did a chemical biology degree. Realized I could do very little with it. So I went off traveling for a year. And then coming back, was interested in the healthcare field, and when I weighed the pros and cons of different professions, like whether it's medicine, pharmacy, or physio, I like the chemistry aspect of pharmacy, which is ironic because I feel like I almost fail med chem every time there's an assessment. But going to pharmacy for me gave me the opportunity to, like, work in the community, interact with patients on like the frontline level, and make some interventions where I could, and also just kind of, it provides me with the lifestyle that I kind of want to. I could go to a small town, go skiing, and work in a pharmacy.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of balance to being a pharmacist.
I think so. It's easy to, well, as long as you put yourself in the right situation, right? Like, if you stay in Vancouver and work at a super busy pharmacy at, like, Cambie and Broadway, I don't know if you'd have much balance there, or at least it's not for me. But if you go out to a smaller town and just fill 50 scripts a day, gives you lots of time to talk to your patients and have a life outside of the pharmacy too.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. Even those people who do work at those busy pharmacies,
hats off to them.
Yeah, they still take a lot of vacations. They've earned it. Do you ever worry about, like, sometimes I see pharmacy as, like, a really big, like, it's a game where there are, like, literally trillions of dollars around. And so it's sort of like a big ocean, and that money, like, sort of attracts sharks.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever worry about, like, just as a pharmacist getting into it for good reasons, that if you're not really careful, you end up getting used and sort of abused and burn out. And
yeah, no, that's a good point. You definitely have to be careful. But I think when you're assessing, like, you take each prescription and assess it individually, right? So I guess as long as you make the patient's health your first priority, no matter what script they come in with, if it's not necessary, talk to them about it. Why are they taking it? Why did the doctor recommend that they take it? And if, based on their decision, based on, like, the information that you give them, at the end of the day, if they want to take it, they can. If they decide they don't want to, then...
Yeah, a lot of it is just turning into, like, information.
Yeah, you're basically, like, educators on medications now, it seems like.
Yeah, anybody can, you know, hand you the medication.
Yeah.
But it's about handing you the information so you know what's going on.
Yeah, understand why you're taking it and make sure that it's... you follow up with them to make sure that it's working.
Do you have a favorite drug?
A favorite drug? I'm an ibuprofen guy and a sumatriptan guy.
Sumatriptan?
Yeah, I used to get migraines all the time. It might have been related to hockey and rugby and bumping my head a few too many times, but that stuff is pretty awesome.
All right, serotonin antagonist. No kidding. And ibuprofen, you hate your prostaglandins?
I love the pain relief I get from ibuprofen.
You know, for muscle aches and stuff, I think I got it.
Even for migraines, like, I just take a couple of those, have a nap, like, 80% of the time worked. And then the rest, I just pop a sumatriptan.
I can't argue with that. Like, when it works, it works. But for a while, ibuprofen was my enemy medication.
Soft guts? Stomach problems?
No, not for me. Like, I don't really take a lot. But I was at a pharmacy in Victoria, and it was... it's called Kool-Aid Pharmacy, and it was catering to, like, the homeless population.
Okay,
and so a lot of people had issues with addiction and substance abuse, so they didn't like to give out opioids. So for any kind of pain, they were giving out ibuprofen, including, like, high-dose chronic ibuprofen.
Really?
Tons and tons.
Yeah, these people probably don't have great renal function and stuff, too.
It's just bad.
Abusing substances.
I was really against it. I get why they're giving that, but you can't live your whole life taking, like, 2 grams of ibuprofen every single day. You need your prostaglandins.
Yeah, that's nuts.
They're doing good things for you, so.
Did you recommend things like pentazocine or tramadol or anything?
No,
like that?
I just asked why they were giving so much, and then they said why, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, as a pharmacy student, you don't want to rock the boat too much, right?
Plus, yeah, last
year, fail your OE
I was not
easily.
As smart as I am now. I'm a lot smarter now.
Well, that I credit Verma, to be honest with you.
I do,
He's
too.
He's really whipped us into shape.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about UBC Pharmacy. Do you have a favorite teacher?
B-Rod and Verma, probably.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're my go-tos.
Verma, I totally agree. You know, he pushes you.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Exactly.
But, you know, when you say B-Rod, it reminds me that often, you know, my very favorite prof will be somebody else's most hated prof.
Who do
and
you
for
like?
Me, my favorite, I mean, I like Frankel.
Yeah.
I really liked Precision.
Oh, yeah. Best name in pharmacy, Rick Precision.
Who else were my guys? Albin. I like Lowen.
Yep. Oh, I wouldn't argue with any of those.
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, B-Rod's great. He's a great lecturer, and I did like his notes.
His notes were clutch.
But he went fishing for the last 2 weeks of the term.
Yeah, I get that's kind of like a dick move. Like, you're
right
kind of abandoning
you need to
your
talk
students.
To your prof.
But if I was in the same position and had a chance to go fishing, I'd go fishing. So I can understand where he's coming from.
Okay. And I have a question about the student body. Mitch Prasad.
Yep. El Presidente.
Great Fuss Prez or the greatest Fuss Prez?
Probably the greatest of all time, I'd have to say.
Okay. Shout out to Mitch Prasad. And who is the hottest girl in pharmacy?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot big time, and it's got to be Colleen Brady.
Colleen Brady. No kidding.
Lab instructor.
Okay.
Second years.
Okay. I guess it's time to hear some more music. Since we were talking about substance abuse, I think we're going to hear Habit by the Slow Learners. You ready for this?
You bet.
Okay. Here's the Slow Learners on CITR 101.9. And we are back. That was Love Pink Pony with Men. And before that, what did we hear? We heard Habit by the Slow Learners. So we have about 5 minutes left. John, is there anything you'd like to talk about?
Nothing in particular, to be honest. I think you've covered it all. We've talked pharmacy.
We talked hockey.
Big game tonight.
Well, I guess we'll go hear some more music. Anything in particular you'd like to hear?
How about this one here? Thunder Heist?
Thunder Heist? Okay. What track?
LBJ.
LBG?
G.
Little Booty Girl.
Little Booty Girl.
Okay, this is LBG by Thunder Heist on Transition State, CITR 101.9.
Little booty girl, sassy with a twist. If you bossy, do like this. If you bossy, do like this. She's a little booty girl. you've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people.
And we're back. So, what did we just hear? We just heard Thunder Heist with LBG, Little Booty Girl. And that's our show this week. I want to thank everybody for listening out there in Radio Land. And I want to thank Mr. John Turley for being with us in the studio.
Thanks a lot for having me on, buddy.
Okay. You can come and see us win a battle for justice at Thunderbird Arena 11 p.m. tonight. But until then, I'm going to leave you with one more track. This is a very special band called The Crobots. They are currently at number 3 on the CITR charts, which is very, very high. And the album is called Days Run Away. And I'm going to leave you with that. So until next week, stay pharmaceutically sound and keep on rocking and rolling.
Take you on a mall shop. I wanna watch you try and close your wall. I wanna buy all your new stock. Come on, baby, show me how you let it drop. Well, tell me all about your certains and all the silly ways you get around. And I'll tell you about my highways and all the woes and all the stories. Well, hey, baby, baby, baby. Hey, baby, baby, baby,
whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the UBC and Kitsilano area at
Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, The Bike Kitchen, The Cove, Dantry's Pub, Displace Hashery, Limelight Video, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Bar and Grill, Lotus Land Tattoo, Nuba Kitsilano, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
And we are back. Hey, radio fans. I know you're expecting Dunkin' Donuts. He's going to be here in 1 second.
Woohoo!
We're just going to hear one more track from The Crobots. This is The Crobots.